Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. American Family Radio, we thank you for listening to AFR. And I'm joined today by, I'm Tim Wildman. I think the announcer just told us that. But Ed Vitagliano, good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Filling in for Ray Pritchard, who's, I guess, traveling.
He's out teaching the Bible somewhere. You know how he does.
Yeah.
Florida.
That's a smart man.
If it's February, it's Florida for Ray.
Ray will go anywhere for the Lord.
That's right.
As long as it's nice climate. Can't blame the man, right? Hey, what is he supposed to do? Tell the people in Florida, no, I can't come teach the Bible because
exactly.
It's February?
Just because it's February?
I'd rather go to Bismarck.
I'd rather go to North Dakota.
All right, Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Glad to be on the show. You may go ahead and pitch Facebook?
Yes, I do.
All right.
So you sort of anticipated what I was going to ask you.
I did, and yesterday I failed to mention it at the beginning of the show. So
right. Go ahead.
Making sure I do my job here.
Okay.
If you want to watch the show, you can go to Facebook, Today's Issues on Facebook. Also, all the news stories I linked to there, many of them from OneNewsNow.com, our own news service. And lastly, you can listen 24/7 to AFR. At our website, afr.net, or by downloading the American Family Radio mobile app.
Now, you've got your own show now on the weekends. Your first show was last Saturday called Exposing Washington. So folks can tune into that. How do you like talking to a microphone by yourself?
Well, sometimes towards the end of a segment, I run out of things to say. So I circle back around and repeat myself. But
you notice you did that? Why, did you critique your first show? Did you review
it? Oh, yeah, I've reviewed it, and I feel confident about it for the most part, but you can tell sometimes you run out of content, and so you just have to talk. Sometimes it's not significant talk. You just talk.
Probably just...
I wouldn't be saying any of this
out
loud.
I think it's an... By the way, good morning, Fred Jackson.
Hi, I'm loving this.
I think it's good to self-evaluate, even if you have to be brutally honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. I'm new to... hosting my own show.
Yeah, you are.
So it will come with its ups and downs, but hopefully as the days go by, I will get better and better.
You want to know the secret? I'm just gonna tell you the secret. And this goes back to the first sermon I ever preached, which I was terrified because...
Did you tape it?
No, I didn't. Somebody might have, but believe me, it wasn't worth keeping if they did. But everyone, you always tell me, you'll think you're preaching a long time, you wind up, and it's like 5 minutes. So I had... 2 pages of scriptures that if I had to, I could just turn to those and just talk about those. So, so I would never run out of things to say, even if it wasn't anointed.
Yeah.
So what I'm just going to just advise you, always have absolutely more than enough. So you get to that little, because that last 2 or 3 minute window before a break is that's one of the hardest things about radio when I first started doing it. So I would just have you'd have a little story. You'd go, okay, we just got a couple minutes before the break. Let me squeeze this in. And then you just talk about that little thing and you're right up to the break.
The other thing for Walker is have a chat with Brian Fisher, our own Brian Fisher. He brings a stack of paper 3 feet high into the studio.
Right.
I guess he doesn't know that you can put stuff in computers. So Brian's
that's like teaching an old dog new tricks there. I don't think he's
not going to have.
He's going to go with just paper stacks. Yeah.
Well, he's got things underlined. He's got notes.
Yeah,
he
is old school. Just bring the stack of paper.
Yeah.
So this past week, I talked about the FBI spying
in
on
that
the
same
Trump
tone
campaign.
You're talking right now. That's how you talked about it.
Well, I got pretty worked up Saturday.
Yeah, you did. Your voice rose.
Yeah, so I'll probably circle back and talk about the same subject this weekend, but we'll see.
Going to follow that story. So Exposing Washington, American Family Radio, Saturdays at 2:30 Central Time.
That's right.
Hosted by you.
That's correct.
And all right.
Well, the other thing to do in the studio, you know, you're recording this show, put a picture of Nancy Pelosi in front of you, and you will stay animated.
Yeah, your voice level will rise. That's a good point, Fred. You'll stay animated and motivated. All right, Fred, what's happening?
All right. Well, listen, I was sitting in my office yesterday afternoon, 2:30, quarter to 3 Central Time. And, yes, I have a 401k. Everybody put up your hand. You have a 401k.
Yes. Mine's now a 301k.
I'm fixing to gloat, but go ahead.
Yeah. Here's what happened. I've never seen anything. You know, I've seen the stock market go down, you know, 2008 and some other times. But yesterday I'm watching 600 down the Dow, 700, 800, 1,000. Man, it can't go any worse. 1,100, 1,200, 1,300, 1,500. And it's like we're watching this, and this is happening like in 90 seconds. What is going on here? But then it started to settle down. I think it closed around 1,100 down yesterday. So a lot of people, what is this all about? You know, we've heard of corrections before, but I've never seen it go down 1,100 points. But then you have to add some perspective in that. You look at percentages, all right, percentages of how far it's down. We all know the stock market has gone up, what, 2,600, 2,700? It's been, or 12,000, what I'm saying, 27,000. So down that much, 1,500, and as I say, settled around 1,100, isn't that bad percentage-wise. And so you had a bunch of experts coming on trying to console people because they knew people would be upset just looking at those raw numbers. We haven't seen this kind of thing before. So I knew that our own Dan Celia on Financial Issues would be addressing this morning to calm people's nerves. So let's have a little listen to what Dan had to say this morning. It'll be cut number one.
But it's computers, it's machines, it's ETFs, it's algorithms. They're taking the market over, and I suspect that is going to continue today. It would have been impossible for us to see the swings that we're seeing in the market, the volatility in the markets. It would have been impossible for us to have seen that 20 years ago because it would have been impossible for people to move that quickly in great, huge quantities of people. I heard somebody on CNN this morning equating this to, this is it, the financial crisis of 2008. Are you serious? Here's the difference. We've got strong fundamentals in the economy.
Well, there you have it. Dan's
he's like a preacher.
Dan gets animated sometimes.
He's convicted of his message there.
Yeah.
So you got stocks. You're invested in the stock market, are you, Fred?
Yeah, I'm in the stock market, you know, but I'm trying to be very careful with it. Now that I'm getting older, you reduce your risk.
Mm-hmm. That's how I reduce my risk. I'm not in it. That's how I reduce my risk.
Huh?
I'm in the safe zone. All right, here's what I did, and you know, to each his own. I don't think the Bible tells us directly how to invest in the stock market or not, does it, Ed?
It does.
Well, tell Fred. The poor fellow over here is looking for divine guidance.
Specifically mentions 401ks.
In Hezekiah?
In Revelation? In
Hezekiah. No. It doesn't. It just tells you to be wise.
Right.
Yes. You know.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're in there. You're in the stock market. A little bit. Well, I think I've mentioned this before. After it took the second deep dive, when was it? 10 years ago? 8 years ago?
2008 was the last big one.
when everybody saw their 401ks cut in half.
Mm-hmm. Right.
At that time, Allison, my wife, and I said, we're not doing this anymore because we have a 401k with a match.
Yeah.
And so we just said to each other, our match is what is our gain, and we don't need anything beyond that. You know what I'm saying?
In other words, AFA, which like a lot of companies do.
Our ministry has a 401k.
Right.
And we have a matching, like a lot of people do, we have a matching, you know, the ministry will match you a certain percentage. So we just said, you know what, we're going with that. Like I said, I'm not against investing in the stock market to each his own. I'm just saying for us, it was like, you know, we can't handle another, half cutting your 401k in half. Then I'm looking at 90 at Walmart, you know, yeah. Huh? If I'm able.
Being a greeter, you mean?
Yeah, a greeter. Yeah. A greeter. Well, they get paid.
I have no idea. I've never worked there.
Well, Walmart's minimum wage, I think, is $11 now.
See, there I go there. Yeah. You know, to greet people if I have to.
Listen, what I do for those who are interested is I bought a bunch of I met this guy and bought a bunch of these Bitcoins from him.
You did? Well, it's tanking too.
And I buried him in the backyard.
Well, it may come back, but it's tanking. Bitcoin.
Now, some people have been telling me that Bitcoin's not real coins, but this guy sold me some real coins.
Okay, yeah.
And I buried him in the yard. I'm not telling people where. Okay? But let me tell you something. When I retire, I'll be sitting pretty. All right. Pull those Bitcoins out.
Even with your 401k, you can invest part of your 401k in.
Yeah. Well, Walker, you're a young man. What's the advice people give young? You can ride it out for 30 years.
I did low risk. I did 75% fixed, 25% invested. And my 401k has gone up because of the stock market.
Invested in what?
In the stock market.
All right. Yep. Well, then.
And they say.
Did you just hear what Fred told us a few minutes ago? Have you looked?
Oh, I've been watching it. Yeah.
Okay. It's going back up again. Yeah. Right? That's the spirit.
Hey, listen, just because I love you, brother, after the show, I'll sell you some of those Bitcoins I got.
I'll come over to your house.
I got some timeshares I'd like to talk to somebody about.
And they're Bitcoins.
Hey, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with David Tagliano, Walker Wildman, and Fred Jackson. On Tuesdays, we normally have Dr. Frank Turek join us from Cross Examined Ministries. And he is with us this morning. Good morning, Frank.
You apparently need somebody to make this conversation more holy, don't you?
We have been talking a lot of money.
Yeah, a lot of filthy lucre.
Yeah. You know what Walmart pays for that greeter job?
No, I haven't had the privilege of being a greeter yet, but when you and I hit 90, maybe we'll be there together.
We'll be there together. That's right. All right.
Well, you know, retirement's not in the Bible, Tim.
It's not?
Well, Moses didn't retire, did he?
Well, that's under the law, brother.
you want to retire.
Retirement is in the new covenant, though, isn't it?
No, listen, I hope I'm always preaching. I don't think I'll ever retire from preaching or writing or something like that. So,
right.
But well, as far as coming into the office, yeah, brother. At some point, I'm not going to do that.
He wants to get away from Tim.
No, at some point. Nothing personal.
All right. Hey, Frank, let's talk about something. You know, your issues that you discuss on your weekend show, Cross Examined, are a lot having to do with Christianity and culture and how we should reach the world, if you will, and also save the church. And I was talking to you back and forth on text this morning. You wanted to talk about how oftentimes, I guess, in the church today, we confuse compassion with, or we confuse confrontation and compassion as if they're incompatible, right?
Exactly. And in fact, a friend of mine, you may have heard of him, his name is Everett Piper. He's the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, one of the few true Christian schools still out there that's sticking to the Word of God and sticking to truth. And he wrote an article a couple of years ago called Not a Daycare, how church is not, college shouldn't be a daycare for overgrown kids, right? And it actually turned into a book. And in fact, his column went so viral that back when O'Reilly was on, O'Reilly had him on, several folks had him on TV because the column really struck a chord. And here's what he says in his book, Not a Daycare, and I think this is absolutely right. He said, "We've bought the lie that confrontation and compassion are antithetical rather than complementary. It's nonsense. In the Christian faith, God tells us that he disciplines those he loves, and discipline is rarely pleasant. He doesn't say he refrains from discipline because he loves. Discipline and love are complementary, not antithetical. Our willingness to help students," now he's talking about college students because he's a college president, he says, "our willingness to help students by confronting and disciplining them reveals our lack of love for them. We don't coddle because we care about students. We coddle because we don't care to bother. We care more about our own feelings of comfort or desire to be popular than their growth and readiness for the challenges of real life. Confrontation is not synonymous with hate. Any decent parents know if we love our kids, we'll confront them. Failing to confront will result in them compromising body, mind, and soul, unquote. That's from Everett Piper, his book, Not a Daycare. And this is true in the church. We think that we can't confront people because if we do, we're judging them. No, we're not. God has already judged behavior, certain behaviors right, other behaviors wrong, based on his nature. And we're just recognizing the fact that somebody is either in line with good behavior or not. And we don't do anybody any favors by not trying to disciple them, trying to make them more like Jesus. If we don't try and do that, then we're not loving them. And as any parent knows, if you tolerate everything your kid wants to do, you're not loving, you're unloving.
Well, I feel totally triggered by that.
Triggered?
I feel triggered. I don't feel safe. I don't feel safe at all by what Frank has just said.
Triggered equal threatened.
Yes, I feel very threatened. Yes. I need to go.
Ed is now a snowflake. He's turned into a snowflake, ladies and gentlemen. Right here on today's issues.
Well, let me tell you, it take a lot to melt this snowflake.
So, how do you mean? What do you mean? What do you exactly? How do we? You know, we Christians are supposed to be. Aren't we supposed to be kind to people and nice to people, Frank? How do you do that?
Except when we're not. Except when we're not supposed to be kind. Was Jesus always kind?
Well, when was he not?
Oh, well, let me count the ways. How about in John chapter 8 when he's talking to the Pharisees and he says, "Your father is the devil." Can you imagine saying that to somebody?
It's a little over the top, I would agree.
You know, a little over the top.
If you're trying to, you know, build a relationship right there.
That's right. Somebody calls in.
And influence people.
Yeah.
Somebody calls in, Tim, I have a question. Your father is the devil.
Okay. But there was a specific purpose for Jesus saying that.
Jesus went after pretty much the people who said they were close to God when they really weren't. He didn't really go after unbelievers with unkindness. But he went after people like Pharisees who were the religious people who were really self-righteous. Those are the people he went after. You could also go to, of course, Matthew chapter 23, where he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you brood of vipers. You strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Oh, you look great on the outside. You're whitewashed tombs. But on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones. You go a mile to make a convert, and then once you make them a convert, you make them twice as much a son of hell as you are. How will you avoid being condemned to hell?"
Yeah, again, an awkward moment. Right there.
Sweet and gentle Jesus said this.
And you know, Frank, you know, like in Luke 13, he tells people, they were all, you know, talking about a tower that had fallen, and and he said, "Well, if you don't repent, you'll all likewise perish." So he. You're absolutely right. He didn't mince words, and you know, in terms of kindness, Jesus wasn't always kind. But your point is, he was always loving, because love demands that you tell people who are sick and on the broad path to destruction, going to hell, you tell them the truth. That's what's loving, right?
That's right. And typically, again, it wasn't the unbelievers he was unkind to. It was the
folks
who should have known
but
better.
But wasn't he also straightforward with the unbelievers?
Well, I think he was. Go and sin no more, right? Yeah, sure, with the woman
repent.
Who was
Everybody repent, right?
Oh, yeah. He said, "I came to call people to repentance." There's no question about that. But the point here is that in our culture, we've confused love and sentimentality. We've confused the fact that in order to love somebody, you have to always be sweet and kind and gentle, and that's just not true. Sometimes you have to be tough. Sometimes you have to get in people's faces. Sometimes you have to wake people up with the truth.
Yeah, but that's the caricature. That's the caricature of the Christian in the world, is that the veins popping out of our head, just telling people what they can't do and how they're going to hell and... Mm-hmm. And so that's Wildman, we need to get away from that image.
There's a difference between the false image and the true. That's why I say Jesus wasn't really angry, it seemed, with unbelievers to the extent that he was angry with people who said they were believers who really weren't, who were self-righteous. And we don't want to be self-righteous.
Well, yeah, and there does need to be some kind of distinguishing, because I hear from the world, okay, and even from fellow Christians sometimes. Well, Jesus was always mad, and his anger was targeted toward the religious people of his day. Therefore, don't be religious.
Right.
Okay? Yeah, that's not right.
Don't be religious. No, his anger was reserved for people who were self-righteous and who were doing things to judge other people, and their heart wasn't right with God.
Right.
So that's what he was dealing with, not being religious,
per se.
Well,
it depends on what you mean by religious, right? What we mean by religious is obeying a set of laws and rules to put ourselves in favor with God, Jesus was all against that. But if what we mean by religious is the fact that we know that God exists and that we owe everything to him and our moral transgressions are covered by his sacrifice, and out of gratitude for what he's done for us, we live a life holy and pleasing to him, then okay. It's a message of grace, not a message of you're going to work your way to God. You can't work your way to God. There's no stairway to heaven. There's a stairway from heaven. And that's what Jesus has come down to do. He's come to search us out.
But if you love God, you will be religious.
In the sense that you will follow his commands out of gratitude for him, but you're not doing that to win favor with God. You can't win favor with God because he loves you infinitely already. He can't love you any more or any less dependent upon what you do.
Well, I mean, this is a great discussion. It's important that we understand the definition of these words. I mean, but you can win God's approval, right?
Or disapproval
in terms of obedience or disobedience, right?
Sure, yeah. He is always he's always pleased with obedience,
right.
And he's always wrathful against sin. Mm-hmm. But he loves you infinitely already either way, because
right.
He's an infinite being, infinite love. But he's also infinitely just. That's why he needs a sacrifice, we need a sacrifice, so we're not judged by his wrath, by his justice.
All right, Frank, what are you going to be talking about this weekend on your show?
Something really important.
Wow.
I haven't gotten there yet, man. It's only Tuesday. This happens on Saturday.
That's true. I understand.
I know you're praying. You're going to come up with you're going to be kind of like Michelle Bachman. You know, you're going to hear from God, and then whatever.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, what I'm going to talk about is why Jesus was just like the purple dinosaur Barney.
I don't think
okay, let's just leave it there.
I just don't think that's acceptable on American Family Radio.
That's right. That's right.
You sound like you're going off on a...
See, that's what our culture thinks. Jesus was Barney. And if you're not like Barney, you're not like Jesus.
Right. No, it is a nicer than Jesus attitude that a lot of Christians have. And, you know, when groups like ours point out sin in the culture, then we're supposed to shut up and, you know... And not say anything because we're going to drive people away from Christ.
They think Jesus should be Mr. Rogers, Rogers,
or Barney.
Yeah. Well, Barney is just so irritating.
Yeah.
Who would want Jesus,
Mr.
Rogers? Like
yeah, but you're right, Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers.
Yeah. So anyway, all right, coming up Saturday, cross-examined.
Barney the dinosaur.
It will be on with Dr. Frank Turek. What
I'm
time's your show?
It's at 9 Central and 10 Eastern, and tomorrow night I'm going to be at Indiana University, and then the next night at Louisville University, and then go to our website, crossexamine.org, or University of Louisville in Kentucky. They can go to our website, crossexamine.org, and they can see it streaming live on our Facebook page, crossexamine.org, or if they're in the area, they can come to those events.
You're going to debate?
Atheists who show up, yeah.
Okay. That's University of Indianapolis at Bloomington?
No, it's another campus,
okay.
But it's on our website.
Go to crossexamined.org and find out where Frank's going to be tomorrow if you live in Indiana or Kentucky.
Louisville, the following night. Yeah.
Please, Ed, don't do that. Okay, we'll be back in a minute, folks. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
Many people are surprised when they meet an authentic Christian. Why is that? Because we have too many examples of teaching not matching conduct, of speech not matching feet.
We'll also hear news headlines and analysis from Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
If you like trips where you have to plan everything, then maybe our tour is not for you. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio. Of course, I'm talking about our spiritual heritage tours of Washington, D.C., Mount Vernon, and then a separate trip to Williamsburg, Virginia. And guess what? We take care of everything. All you have to do is, as they say, show up. But we take these spiritual heritage tours twice a year, once in June and once in September. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation, who is a historian, will be joining us for both tours, and he will tell you everything you need to know about the places, the times, the events that we will experience on these tours of Washington, D.C. and Williamsburg. For all the information, just go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com for everything.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Stearns from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. There's a great big gender controversy brewing north of the border. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is pushing a radical inclusiveness program. Take a listen to what happened when a religious charity asked the Prime Minister a question at a town hall gathering.
We came here today to ask you to also look into the policies that religious charitable organizations have in our legislation so that it can also be changed, because maternal love is the love that's going to change the future of mankind. So we'd like you to look
into that. We like to say people kind, not necessarily mankind, because it's more inclusive.
There we go.
You might recall that Canada recently changed its national anthem to make it more gender inclusive. They took out the phrase, "In all thy sons command," and replaced it with, "In all of us command." You know, maybe we ought to consider building a wall on the northern border, too, eh? I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, folks, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano, Walker Wildman, and Fred Jackson. We were talking to Dr. Frank Turek a few minutes ago about the difference between, or, you know, a lot of Christians say we need to be compassionate, and that's antithetical?
Antithetical.
To confrontation.
Right.
And he was given examples in the Bible, was Frank, of when Jesus had to confront people over their sin. And so that's a lively discussion. And, you know, we want to be, Fred, we want to be, what's the old saying, attract people with honey rather than vinegar or something like that? Exactly. Am I on the right track with that one?
My mom used to always say that.
I think it always comes down to a matter of trust. If you've built a relationship with somebody, a brother or sister in the Lord, and you see that they're doing something that's going to hurt them, then you can confront them in a loving style. But a perfect stranger, you don't walk up and say, "Get that cigarette out of your mouth."
Right.
You know, just as an example, you know, that's terrible what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesus always tried to build a relationship. And it takes patience as a Christian. It really does. And you've got to remember that verse, you know, Christians are admonished, take the beam out of your own eye before you worry about somebody else's problem.
Right. Is that possible, Ed?
Well, if Jesus says it, I think what he means by that, see, that passage, and that starts off Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is, the goal is to see clearly.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he says. Mm-hmm. You take the beam out of your own eye, you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's.
Yeah.
So the idea is to see clearly when you're talking with sin.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean? It means first being humble enough to go to God to deal with your own sin.
Amen.
And then when you deal with your own sin and you've been forgiven by your Heavenly Father, Now you see clearly, i.e. compassionately,
yes,
when you're dealing with someone else, and it's arm around them and saying, listen, I know what it's like to be beaten by a sin, and the God who forgave me will forgive you. Mm-hmm. So that's it's not that you're removing all sin from your life. It is that you are removing self-righteousness,
yes,
because you have already, in humility, mm-hmm, been corrected by your Heavenly Father.
Well, the theme, Walker, in the New Testament seems to be that Jesus condemned self-righteousness.
Right. And many times, I mean, I know we spend a lot of time on the radio show talking about worldly problems, but we all know that it all leads back to the church in this country, or the lack thereof, and pastors teaching about sin and repentance, mm-hmm, which can be done in a compassionate manner. So many of our problems are not. Jesus spent a lot of time correcting people who claim to be religious. So a lot of our problems do end up going back to the church and the teachings of the church. So it's important to keep our focus where the problem is.
Yeah, but a lot of Christians buy into the what I call nicer than Jesus, mm-hmm, philosophy, and they say if you talk at all about sin, then you're going to turn people away. I remember I've heard about churches like this, and they're called, a lot of them are called seeker-friendly, mm-hmm, churches. Now, I know that's a broad term that gets people's opinions flowing right there, but a lot of people say, you know, I remember, for instance, there was a church in Atlanta I read about. I think it was Andy Stanley's church, and they were talking about they were allowing homosexuals to be
members.
Well, no,
deacons.
Well,
the worshipers.
Ushers. People who were openly gay.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought was that I'm almost certain it was Andy Stanley's church, if not Louis Giglio's church, one of those,
yeah,
guys in Atlanta who do a lot of wonderful teaching. Don't
right.
get me wrong. I'm not condemning their ministry as a whole. I'm just saying their idea was, well, we need to bring them into the church, and we get them in, and then they ultimately, you know, I guess, change their lifestyle.
Yeah.
And, but my thing was, you know, at what point in your new member class do you have to say, you know, you can't have sex with other men and be a member of our church?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because that's confrontational.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's, mm-hmm, that's rude.
Yeah.
That's not very becoming to get, you know, when you want people to like you and join your fellowship and change. So that's, you know, that's one school of thought from inside the church, is you don't tell people about their sin. You wait till they, you know,
get convicted from the preaching and
yeah,
right,
that kind
all
of
those
thing.
Kind of things. Well, look, that's a whole discussion.
Yeah, and go have. Ahead. You know, you have it.
Yeah,
you solve that problem for us.
Here's what people will say. Well, if let's use the example that you gave, homosexuals as ushers, they'll say, okay, so you're saying that to be an usher, you can't have any sin in your life. Isn't that what you're saying? Mm-hmm. You know, and
that's what they would say to us,
yeah,
if we said it's inappropriate for somebody living in sin to be an usher in a church.
My own personal opinion, I think, reflects Scripture, is that all people can come to the church and hear the preaching, participate. If you're going to serve in the church, you must have committed to, you must be a Christian, you must have committed to a living a sanctified life. Not that you won't stumble and fall, but you're not going to serve in
an
a leadership
sin.
Capacity and rebelliously hold on to your sin. So I would say, no, I'm sure there's plenty. I'm sure the pastor's not perfect, but he is committed to living a sanctified life. Mm-hmm. But people who are openly living in immorality, whether it's homosexual or heterosexual,
or adultery.
Well, let's say they're living together with a woman.
Right.
And the guy wants to be an usher in the church.
You cannot serve if you refuse
that
to release.
The guy's wanting to serve. Isn't that? Mm-hmm. Isn't that?
It is for their, it is for, like Frank was saying, it is loving to tell them, if we do not hold this standard, you will continue on a broad path to destruction.
That's right.
Because the Bible says that fornicators and adulterers and homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God. So
you're very, very judgmental.
Yeah. I'm sure there would be people who would say that. We all read the comments under articles all the time.
Yes.
This is what people say, but they are ignorant of the scriptures.
The fundamental basis for the gospel and for a church is that mankind is sinful from birth and we are in need of redemption via Jesus Christ. So if you lose the fundamental teachings, if I go to a church service for 4 weeks in a row, for example, and I never hear what sin is and why I need a savior, then why am I there other than it being a social club? Yeah.
Right.
So we need to hear about why we're sinful and why we need a savior. And to me, that's an uplifting message. Yeah. That is not a downward right. message.
I think what has happened in our culture today, as we're well aware, is that we have a culture of self, and self is affording itself the right to define what is right and wrong. So that puts them at odds with Scripture right away. But that kind of attitude has been fostered, you know, in our education system. You know, never tell a person they're wrong. You know, if they can't do math, let's pass them anyway.
Right.
Because we don't want to offend them.
Everybody gets a trophy.
Everybody gets a trophy. And that attitude has been taken into the church in many churches, is that if we offend somebody, you know, our pews will may get empty. So we got to keep those pews. We got to keep them full.
Well, and that's exactly what Walker was saying. If you take out the prognosis that we're sinful, that we're broken, that we need a savior, and that Jesus is that savior, if you take that message out, then what you're left with is either I go to church because it's a social club, I have social status, or I'm going to church to find out how to make my life more enjoyable.
Right.
And then you get these churches that just teach principles of just human betterment and becoming healthy, wealthy. And
you would think that those churches are growing, and some may be, but I was asked this in an interview, and I actually did a little bit of searching on it, and I think it was Pew Research, the studies they did of the different denominations, showed that the denominations who are strictly adhering to biblical teachings are actually the ones that are at least maintaining their membership status and sometimes increasing membership. Mm-hmm. So
there's something to believe in.
Right, right.
Now, you do have some churches, you know, Joel Osteen's church has grown.
Yeah, there's
a lot, and he's not known for confronting sin. You know what I'm saying? So you do have people who will go to places, as you say, Ed, looking for betterment. What do you call it?
Well, just, you know, a sense of human fulfillment. Now, I will say this. I've listened to some of Joel Osteen's, you know, messages and stuff, and he does talk about God and Jesus. I don't want to mischaracterize, but it's generally understood. Most of the messages are about succeeding in life.
Right.
And he has publicly on some talk shows said, well, I don't like to talk about sin. That's not what God's called me to do. So I just want to make sure we don't mischaracterize it. That is what he says.
We want to be fair.
God has not called me to talk about sin. So that's I think, a fair appraisal. But he's got the largest church in the country, I think.
So Joel Osteen said what you just said? He said, yes. God's not called me to talk about sin?
Yes. God has called me to encourage people. Mm-hmm. And that's in their, how we define
their sin?
No. He would not do. And I've heard him. You know,
he would not say that.
He would not say that. He doesn't encourage people to sin. He just doesn't. You know, he's not gonna. What Frank Turk was talking about last segment. He's not gonna preach a sermon about repentance.
Well, when he was asked about gay marriage, he said that's not God's best.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, to me, that's a pathetic answer.
That was a pathetic answer.
Huh?
That was absolutely a pathetic.
That's a pathetic answer of.
That makes it sound like, okay, well, so it's not God's best, but there's nothing wrong with it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
right.
All right, so it's not God's best. I'll take second best.
Yeah.
If you don't say it's sinful.
Yeah, I'm just using Joel Osteen as an example.
Right.
I'm sure he's a wonderful neighbor and, you know, and a great dad and everything like that, but I'm just saying some of the teaching that he has been popularized in the church, and it's not confronting sin.
Right.
And I'm not saying you have to beat people over the heads every day, but you have to talk about sin and repentance. Or that's the essence of the gospel message. You know what I'm saying? All these other things you get are benefits from living a righteous life.
In fact, in Luke, the version of the Great Commission there is that this gospel shall be preached in all the earth, preaching repentance from sin. Mm-hmm. So that's what it. So that is part of the gospel.
So is homosexuality a sin? The act of
homosexuality is a sin.
The act, just like adultery or any kind of marriage, any kind of sex outside of
marriage between one man and one woman.
Right. Mm-hmm. But what I see happening a lot of times is the people don't want to take, the pastors don't want to take on issues relative to that, because then you get fired at.
Yeah.
then you get incoming. Then you get the arrows. You know, the arrows are coming at you. So how do I avoid arrows coming at me, and how do I avoid controversy? I just don't talk about these things, and especially that are in popular culture, mm-hmm. that are going to get me in trouble.
Yeah.
So if I avoid those, you know, then I don't have. I know churches that do that. You know, I'm not saying every week you have to talk about some kind of sin in culture, but I'm talking about you do have to stand up for the Word of God when the going gets tough.
And the
going's tough today, especially when you're talking about sexually immoral activities that are explicitly condemned in Scripture, but yet you don't want to talk about it because it means the world's going to criticize you.
And let me just say this one thing so people don't email me with criticisms. I have listened to Joel Osteen's sermon, and when he's very encouraging. So I want people to understand you want an encouraging message.
There's a reason why he's popular.
That's right. He is very encouraging. So I don't want people saying, you just bashed Joel Osteen. I'm just saying that he gives you that. By his own admission, he does not do the other.
I think the Apostle Paul sets a wonderful example for us all. He was loving, he was patient, but he never backed down.
Right.
He never backed down. I mean, if it eventually cost him his life. Mm-hmm. He was beaten many times, but he never stopped.
Right.
So in this world, we have to remember Matthew 7:13-14, we're on a narrow road.
Right.
Christianity is not a popularity contest.
No.
It's not.
But to Walker's point, and then we'll go to Sandy, to Walker's point earlier, it is generally true, and surveys do show, to borrow from Richard Dawson. Nobody got that?
I got it, yeah.
Okay. Do you get it?
Yeah. Family Feud.
Oh.
Surveys show.
Richard. Okay.
You get it?
All right, I do. Richard Dawson.
Walker didn't even know who Richard Dawson is.
Isn't that atheist guy? That's Richard Dawkins.
You never even heard of Hogan's Heroes, have you, Walker? No, okay. Anyway,
poor Walker, man.
My point is,
it's brutal here,
and I do have one. My point is that basically Bible believing churches are growing. Those growing are at least not losing.
Right.
Those churches that adhere to the authority of the Holy Bible and teach its full counsel are growing. Those churches that have left the authority of God's Word and have gone to man's ideas, mm-hmm. I.e. the mainline Protestant denominational churches in America today, are losing members by the millions. In fact, 20 years from now, you're not going to have an Episcopal church. You're not going to have a Presbyterian Church USA. You're probably not going to have a United Methodist Church if they don't change. In fact, they're having a lot of churches lead the denomination over the authority of Scripture. Have you noticed this trend that's going on here? And I grew up in the United Methodist Church, so a lot of friends and family still in that denomination. But I'm just telling you, you start leaving the Word of God and embracing the world's ways, eventually people aren't going to come to your church because there's nothing to come for.
Right.
If you don't believe in the authority of God's Word, what are you going to teach from? The Reader's Digest on Sunday morning? Huh? Are you going to give me, you know, some kind of, I don't know what you're going to give if you're going to deny the word of God.
Well, you're not getting it from me.
Right. So, I mean, people are going to lose interest. They're going to go fishing, golfing, stay home, gardening, whatever, because why do I want to go to a place that doesn't even believe in the life-changing power of the gospel of Christ?
Right.
That's what I'm saying. So if you look at the surveys, and George Warner's survey, Walker's correct, the churches that adhere to the authority of the Holy Bible and teach it, they're growing, or at least maintaining. The churches that are not are losing members by the millions, if you look out across the American landscape. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. That's why I never understood why these churches are going the way of, you know, getting away from the Word of God, because it's self-destructive. You would think just for survival's sake, they would say, maybe there's a reason why we're losing millions of people. Maybe we need to change direction here. Huh? What do you say, guys? Huh? No.
Who's with me?
No, I'd rather keep going and not have anybody in our church in 20 years. How about that, guys? Raise your hand if you're with me on that one. Anyway. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Sandy Rios joins us right now. Sandy Rios in the Morning is heard each weekday morning on American Family Radio from 7:05 to 8 o'clock Central Time on American Family Radio. Sandy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim. Can I tell my United Methodist story?
Yeah, go right ahead.
You know, when I was years ago, when I was a very, very young, just out of college person, I had a choir at a United Methodist church, and that caused me, of course, to be in their Sunday morning services. And they were doing a series on the teachings of Mao. You ask, what do they talk about instead of the Bible? Well, that's what some churches are doing.
When was this?
What?
This was in the 70s. The teachings of Mao.
That's when it started. That's when.
You mean the bloody communist dictator of China?
Yes, that's exactly who I mean. Yeah. Well, and their Sunday school, their Bible school curriculum was all about, this is like out of time warp. They were teaching ecology, environmentalism. That's what they taught the kids. No Bible story.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Now, we should say that was one experience of Sandy's in the 70s with a United Methodist church, which, you know, as I said earlier, you have these liberalism problems, and it's more than liberalism. A lot of times it's...
That's evil.
It's heresy.
That is evil.
Yeah, it's...
I just want to say this,
Sandy, there are a lot, and still are today, there are a lot of...
Right.
God-fearing United Methodist people who are trying to save their church. Some people would say it's a lost cause, but I'm just saying they still believe in the Bible. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm glad you clarified that. I totally agree. But this trend in the United Methodist Church in particular started a long time ago. Remember that Hillary Clinton was United Methodist, and it was her youth pastor who caused her to turn toward Sololinsky and the left. Yeah, so the church, and I'm picking on United Methodist because that's the experience that I had with them, but this was a poisoning church teaching that went back a long way, and we're seeing the fruits of it today.
No, that's representative of the problem in what we commonly call the mainline Protestant churches in America today. Now, I don't know how long we'll refer to them as mainline, you know.
But we probably should mention, too, that a lot of these mainline churches we're talking about in Europe and the U.S., their counterparts, like the Methodist churches in Africa, the Anglican churches, the Episcopal Church is part of the worldwide Anglican churches, even some Presbyterian churches in places like Africa and Asia, they are rock solid. These are holding to
The North American church.
It's the North American and the Western churches that have... gone off.
Well, what
Ichabod.
Happened was the God is Dead movement infiltrated the seminaries of these denominations back in the 50s and 60s, it had its effect because these godless professors are training these pastors in seminaries, and then the pastors come out all messed up on the other side, and then they go into the churches. And the next thing you know, they're teaching about Mao.
I remember I grew up in the Southern Baptist Church, and my pastor The pastor that took over when I went to college started teaching that there was no virgin birth. And I remember, I thought my mother was going to have a heart attack. She was so sad and disturbed, but he was a product of the very liberal teaching that was finding its foothold in the Southern Baptist Convention then. That was pushed back eventually. You know, there was a coup, yeah. But anyway, yeah. We could go on with that.
Adrian Rogers and yeah. Others. Adrian Rogers, namely him, I guess Jerry Vines and Charles Stanley and others. I'm trying to Richard Land,
Paige Patterson.
Yeah. There are names we've left out. That basically, had to fight for the Southern Baptists to maintain
and their seminaries too,
Their seminaries, or else they would have probably been lost, like the mainline Protestant churches.
Well, I've been to a personal story of mine, without mentioning names and places. I've been to a service where communion was given out, or communion was offered, and the preacher specifically said that communion is for everyone, whether you are a believer or not.
He said that?
Yes. And that's downright heresy. Yeah, but I thought to myself, well, Jesus was with his disciples when they took communion, believers. And so my wife and I just looked at each other and we were stunned. And we won't be back there, but nobody else. I'm not sure
how many others even knew the distinction.
Well, yeah, I just wondered if anybody else was convicted like me.
Right.
Because that's I didn't terrible. See anybody else that were kind of shocked like
no,
I was.
Now, communion is for all followers of Christ.
Right.
And even us as followers of Christ during a communion or what some churches call a Lord's Supper service, we're told as the Bible admonishes, to examine yourself.
You are right.
Huh?
Yes.
So it's not only just for Christians, it's for Christians who have examined ourselves lest we die.
Yes.
And my pastor right now says that if you're not in right relationship, even if you're a believer and you have not repented of your sins and you're not in right relations with God,
you don't take communion,
then just sit this out.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
That's wise.
Yes. Sandy, we got 1 minute left here. Very interesting discussion with your husband, Bruce, this morning, former FBI agent, about what's happening at his old agency. How long has Bruce been out of can you tell us that?
Yeah, about 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah, about 4 years.
And he was saying that a lot of members, former FBI agents, are very distraught about what's going on at their esteemed agency, yeah. Right?
Yes, because the FBI has traditionally been the place where men of integrity and honesty went to serve, and they have been sort of like the cream of the crop. Really, it was hard to get in. There were high standards once you got there, high standards of behavior, and so it's more than disturbing for former FBI agents to watch their former director, who was fired, for one thing, lie about something like a dossier, try to step outside of the constitutional prohibitions and break the law, really, to try to destroy a candidate that he doesn't prefer. It's just, and also to present false evidence in a court of law.
Yeah.
And to swear, sign your name as you present the evidence.
Sorry to interrupt you. Hey, if you want to go, Sandy, where can people go and listen to your interview with Bruce that you did this morning if they didn't hear it?
They can go to Sandy Rios in the Morning Facebook, or they can go to Sandy Rios and just Google Pat Podcast.
R-I-O-S, Sandy. It was an excellent interview with Bruce, her husband, former FBI agent. We're out of time. Thanks, Sandy. Appreciate it.
Okay, my pleasure. Bye.
All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes, folks. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.